To John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll read the first 17 verses or so. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Continuing our I Am series, the I Am series, and just as a recap so that we're all on the same page once again. When Jesus says these I Am statements seven times, he says it in the Gospel of John, and when he says these statements, he's pointing back to way back to Exodus chapter 3. When Jesus says, I am, the literal translation of that is, I am. I myself am. And way back in Exodus chapter 3, God in the burning bush is talking to Moses. And God says, I am. And when Jesus says, I am, and God says, I am, they are talking. Jesus is essentially saying, I am God. Me and God are one. The first hearers of this, the disciples that Jesus is speaking to today in the passage, would have known this. This would have been a light bulb moment for them. And the first readers of John would also know this. This would be a light bulb moment for them as well. The I am, just with these two words, or the one, yes, the two words in the Greek, I am. Jesus is pointing that he is God. And then with each of the I am statements, there's an analogy after that. And so today is I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And so, like, similarly to I am the good shepherd, or I am the way, the truth, and the life, which we've looked at before, When Jesus says, I am the true vine, he's saying something about God here. I am the true vine. Now, when I read this at first, I went, why is Jesus saying, I am the true vine? That assumes or implies that there is another type of vine. Maybe a vine that was there before that is no longer there, or that is no longer true. Maybe it's a false vine. So, if we take a look back to the Old Testament again, you see the way that it works? We go back to the Old Testament again, and when we go back to the Old Testament, if we go back to Psalm chapter 80, we can easily see what Jesus means. There is another vine. And beginning at verse 8, listen to these words from the psalmist Asaph. You transplanted a vine from Egypt, talking to God in poetry. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the river. The psalmist is talking about Israel, and Israel entering the promised land, and Israel being rooted in the promised land and spreading like a vine over top of the promised land. All of the people, the vine, the people of Israel, stretching out from the Jordan River right over to the Mediterranean Sea, covering the mountains, just covering the whole land with themselves. Because God, the God that has planned this salvation process for us, has planned his salvation through the people of Israel. Israel is the vine in Psalm 80. You can also go to Isaiah. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 5, and we see it again where it says it rather plainly, really. Isaiah 5. The first seven verses of Isaiah 5 are called the Song of the Vineyard. And the vine motif, the vine imagery is really strong here, where it says in verse 7, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. You see, so this imagery of a vine is not so hard for us to take a look at. It's not hard for us to fathom, because we know what it looks like. We can envision it for ourselves quite easily, the vine. And we know the history of the nation of Israel too a little bit from Scripture, that Israel did not always obey God, and that at one time God exiled the nation of Israel. He as the gardener, as in today's text, as the gardener lobbed off the nation of Israel. But that wasn't the end. Sent it out into exile, but that was not the end for the nation of Israel. Because as we read in Isaiah 11, a shoot comes up. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From its roots, a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. This is talking about Jesus. A shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. King David's dad is Jesse. And a shoot will come up. Did you ever see, have you ever cut down a tree and see some growth come out of the tree later on, maybe a season later? A shoot comes up. The stump is not dead. The tree's gone. but the stump is not dead and a shoot comes up. This is the idea behind what Isaiah is talking about. Even though Israel is lobbed off, even though it is cut down, it is not gone, because a shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. And this is Jesus. And Jesus here in the text today is saying that he is the vine, the true vine. You know, it's interesting to have this imagery, because Christ is the vine, and it says in the text that we are the branches, or that the disciples are the branches, that those who follow him are the branches. And that's an easy imagery to try to figure out. And Jesus says, as long as you are in me and I am in you, as I am in you, you are in me. We are connected as branch and vine, as branch and trunk, you might say, for us who are more familiar with trees. We are connected. And as long as there's that connectedness, we will produce fruit. And it's amazing, isn't it, that we produce fruit that hangs from our branches, it doesn't come from us, folks. It comes from Jesus. You know, I was in Israel, and the one gentleman there, he was saying, well, you know, if God is the gardener, and if Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, who's the root? And he suggested that the Holy Spirit is the root. And I'm sort of on the fence about that one. I'd like to say that the Holy Spirit is the sap. The sap. Maple syrup season is coming here soon. In fact, it's days like today, maybe a little bit warmer than today, that the maple sap really starts to flow, where the sap comes up the trees during the day on a nice, bright, clear, sunny day. And then at nighttime, it just goes down, and the sap keeps going up and down the tree. And that's how we get the sap coming out of the tree that we can make our yummy maple syrup from. If the Holy Spirit is the sap that feeds us so that we can produce fruit, think of that, folks. Think of that. That's the amazing development that happens when we are in the vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, what are the fruit? What are the fruit? What is the fruit? You know, for us, we often think, okay, well, the fruit comes from the branches then, but the fruit actually comes from the tree itself through the sap. And the fruit, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, if we go to Galatians 5, we see that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. This is the gift that comes through us, to the people of God, so that, as the text says today, so that we can show others that God lives in us, that Jesus lives in us. This is the amazing thing. When we are in Jesus, we are included in his salvation plan, you and I. And by being included in his salvation plan, by being in the vine, we are producing fruit. And this fruit that we produce is for all to see, and it's for the glory of the Father, the gardener. The gardener is the one who tends the vine. The gardener is the one who makes sure that it has all its provisions. The gardener is God Almighty, says Jesus in this analogy. And so when we produce fruit for the Lord, for Jesus, we are actually producing fruit for the glory of God, so that others may see it and that others may know that we are indeed the ones who belong to Him. For we are the ones who belong to Jesus. We are the fruit, or we are the branches that produce the fruit. Now, I think it's a pretty good gauge for us sometimes to see how much fruit we're producing, to see if we are indeed in the vine. And so when we take a look at these aspects of fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, when we take a look at these aspects, and we see a continual movement toward these things, that these things are increasing in our lives, that's a pretty good gauge that we are in the vine, that we are connected with Christ. We are grafted in. When our lives become more about us and less about God, that's an indicator that we may be not so into the vine. We may not be so included. We're still there, don't get me wrong. But it may be a connected point where we got to say, hey, you know what? We need to straighten this thing out a bit. Because if we are not connected to the vine, then we will be cut off and thrown away. I didn't say it, folks. The text says it. Okay? God is the gardener. God is the gardener, and He comes in from time to time and prunes things. I don't know if you've ever seen or pruned trees or vines. I know that there's a lot of people here that are probably better at it than I ever would be. But Karen, we have a little bit of a story about that. I talked to a few apple farmers when I lived in Collingwood. Thornbury's right next door. And Thornbury's a big apple growing place. And I knew a couple apple farmers out there. And they would talk to me about, yeah, it's time to prune the trees. And I go, yeah, okay. You know, you go out there and cut some limbs off, whatever, right? And they go, yeah, we're quite brutal with the trees sometimes. You know, oh, okay. And I didn't really put two and two together with that until we moved here and we have two apple trees in our backyard. And when we first moved in, the trees were like, wow, these trees are like really groomed. They look nice and stuff. And they produce a great crop of fruit. And we left it. We didn't do anything with it that following year. And all these shoots came up, and we're going, wow, look at all these shoots coming up, but there was barely any fruit at all. And so there's barely any fruit at all. So Karen went off to the library, and she talked to Karen McGugan, who gave her a big book on how to prune trees. And my Karen brought this book home, and she studied this book for weeks about how to prune trees. And she went out there one day, and she went to town on our trees. And I say she went to town because she came up. I said, you kid just killed our trees. Like, what are you doing? And she's going, no, this is the way it's supposed to be done. And sure enough, the crop of apples that came, the blossoms came, and the crop of apples that came was pretty good. Good enough for her applesauce. And I thought, this is amazing to see this pruning being done. And many of us who are gardeners know all this stuff, that the plant feeds the fruit instead of the plant feeding the branches. You see? And the same thing with the true vine and the gardener. The plant feeds the fruit. The ultimate purpose is fruit, to give glory to God. And if we don't do that, if we aren't producing our maximum amount of fruit by being interconnected into the vine, then we will be pruned. You can count on it. And pruning doesn't feel too good for the branch. Pruning can really hurt. And it's called humbling, people. Humbling. If you don't humble yourself before the Lord on a regular basis, pruning yourself because you are so full of yourself to begin with, then God will come and prune you. He'll take you down a little notch. And it sounds mean. And it sounds horrible. And it sounds like, why would God want to do that to me? God would want to do that because he needs the glory. Because the glory belongs to him through the fruit that you produce, through your humility. Because it's all about God and it's not about you or me. The fruit that we produce, love, peace, joy, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These fruit, if we see a decline in this, folks, we need to be careful. And we need to get on our knees and start saying, you know what, God, I want to be humble before you. Before God humbles us, I think. We need to do that individually, and we need to do that as a church. Because we are all called, all included in God's salvation plan. Remember, the nation of Israel was, in the Old Testament, the vine. Now Jesus is the vine, and you are the branches. You are included in God's salvation plan. And people see that through the fruit that you bear, through these attributes of God that you have in your life, that you show, that you display willingly. Understand that it doesn't come from you. You can't go out and say, listen, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be more patient, and I'm going to be more, more good. Better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be more faithful. I'm going to do these things. This doesn't come from you. You cannot make this happen. Only through humility and only through the gift of Christ can you receive this, because Jesus is the vine and you and I are called into this. You see how this works? You see how integrated it is, how intimate it is? We are together in this. We are all branches of this vine. We are all connected with Christ for those who believe. We are all called to bear fruit, and may we bear fruit for God, to his glory. Amen. Let's pray.